Tonight, amen. And can I borrow $20 so I can buy my food tonight, since the pastor said he wasn't going to buy my food? So, okay, all right, okay. It's good to be in church tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 4, 2 Samuel chapter number 4, and I'm grateful to be here at Tabernacle with you tonight. And I love your pastor's name. I love his initials, J.M. All right, y'all are slow tonight. It's a long day. I get it. I've been fighting 85 traffic trying to get down here, so I'm all hyped up and ready to go. And but I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here this evening, and it's good to see some familiar faces. I grew up going to Greer Baptist camp meeting, and so I grew up running around there and met a lot of y'all then. Brother Holbert's been leading the music there. Well, the camp meeting's 78 years old, and he's been leading it for about 94 years, I think, over there, and appreciate his faithfulness and testimony. And then it's good. We got to some of the young people. Remember, we was out here at Teen Extravaganza a couple years ago during Bible school. I preached out here for a week and sweated to death. And then we played with that big old ball out there and liked to die. But we had a good time, amen. And I appreciate the Lord's blessings. I pastor in Salisbury, North Carolina, which is about 40 minutes north of Charlotte. And I got a wife and three children. Daxton, he's my oldest. His middle name is Mays, after Mays Jackson. And then my middle boy, his name is Sightler. His middle name is Knox. We couldn't think of a... It's not James Knox, but I'm not against that either. And then I got a little girl. We named our kids after preachers. My little girl, her name is Joyce Myers. And I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding to make sure you're awake, all right? You know, we're trying to keep with that prayer. He's thinking, what in the world have I done now? But our little girl, she's Judah Rain, and the Lord's had us there at the church for over 11 and a half years now. And I'm grateful for the Lord's kindness and mercy and all the Lord's done for us. Preacher, let me set some outline books and stuff up tonight. If there's any preachers here and you're like me, you're always looking for a sermon. And one fella said, all originality and no plagiarism makes for poor preaching. And so there's some things over there. But then I've got a book over there I just wrote that my heart is for church kids. You know, a lot of church kids struggle with their salvation because they have a hard time discerning from when they met the Lord, from when they heard about the Lord. They've always heard about Him. And sometimes people struggle with that. And so I wrote that's over there. And we're just trying to put good material out and be a blessing. And then I got some cards for our Timothy conference. It was a young preacher's meeting we have coming up in August. And I appreciate the pastor letting me set those items up tonight. Well, I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm hungry. And then I got a two and a half hour drive home. We start revival meeting tomorrow night at our church with Brother Brian McBride. And so I'm looking forward to that. But the Lord's had this text on my heart specifically. I've never preached this before, and depending on how it goes tonight, depends on if I ever preach it again, but we're going to look at it tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 4. Again, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to stand in your pulpit tonight, and I'm grateful for the Lord's mercy and grace in our life. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4 tonight. And Jonathan's, Saul's son, had a son who was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now, we are familiar with that name when we read in our Bible, Mephibosheth, but we are more familiar with him because of 2 Samuel chapter 9 than we are 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Within the context of the verse that I've read tonight, Mephibosheth, I note three things by way of introduction. I note his family in this verse. The Bible said that Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son. So we understand that Saul is the king that Israel wanted, and God rejected him because of his rebellion against God's word. Saul had a son named Jonathan, and then Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth. So that makes Mephibosheth the grandson of King Saul. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Let me get my feet on the ground, and we'll get to the clock as quick as we can. there's his family, but then there is the fleeing in this text. The Bible said he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. We understand that because of Saul's rebellion and sin and under the judgment of God that he died in 1 Samuel chapter number 31. Jonathan died as well. They disrespect their bodies. They treat them horribly. Thank God for those men of Jabesh Gilead that had some honor and respect for Saul and did not want to see Saul go down that way. And they go and get their bodies. But when they hear that news that Jonathan and Saul have died, Mephibosheth is next on the hit list. And so his nurse, she grabs him. I've got three little ones, 10, 5, 10, 8, and 2. And if you're ever in a hurry somewhere, don't take no little ones with you. I mean, it's just amazing. We'll be walking around at the store and there'll be four rows behind you. The reason my wife says, because their legs are short and they don't walk as fast as I do. And so here's that nurse. Here's, they are fleeing for their life. And so out of haste, out of concern, out of love, out of a safety precaution, she does what any mother here tonight would have done. She does what any dad would have done. She does what anybody would have done. She reaches down and picks up Mephibosheth. He's 5 years old, and she begins to flee away from the palace. There's the family and the fleeing. But then I'm interested tonight in this fall. The Bible said it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. What has happened in this text is Mephibosheth's nurse picked him up. And they are fleeing because of the news of the death of Saul and Jonathan. And upon fleeing, she's grabbed him up and she's running. She is trying to make haste and move as quickly as she can to get Mephibosheth to safety. But upon running and upon traveling, upon leaving, she drops him. It was not intentional. It was not something when she woke up that morning, she was not expecting to have to flee for her life and pick up Mephibosheth and run. It was an accident. You know, I thought about this nurse here in our text. This nurse was someone that Mephibosheth trusted. It was somebody that, you understand, in that culture is not uncommon for them to have ladies that would help take care of the children. And no doubt that she has grown up, Mephibosheth has grown up around her, been around her, he knows her, he's comfortable with her, he trusts her. She was someone that spent time with him. No doubt from the time he was born to the current age he's at, she's helped take care of him, she's helped look after him, she's helped get his meals, she's helped get him dressed for the day. She's looked after him and took care of him. She's someone that he trusted, someone that spent time with him, someone that took care of him. But she was someone that tripped and dropped him. And this is a youth emphasis night, and this is what I got on my heart. But in reality, as coming up the road, Pastor, it's not just young people that's going to deal with this. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's going to be people in your life that you're going to have confidence in. People that love you. People that you admire. People that have been good to you, that have provided for you, that have been a blessing to you. And if you would, they have took you up in their arms. They have helped you and fed you and been a blessing to you spiritually. But they're still going to let you down. Here's what I want to preach on tonight. Somebody dropped me. I'm going to tell you, if you're in church any amount of time, if you're serving God any amount of time, you're going to have confidence in people. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be a parent. It may be a preacher. It may be a deacon. It may be a choir member. It may be anybody in the church. You're going to have confidence in them, and you're going to look up to them. They're going to be a blessing to you, and they're going to be kind to you. But somewhere along the way, they're liable to let you down. I want to remind you that the Bible teaches us that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's not saying we shouldn't trust people. That's not saying we should not have confidence in somebody. But the psalmist's premise when he made that statement was people will let you down. I wish I could preach these young people tonight that you can grow up in a church like this, grow up in a church like I grew up in, and nobody in that church is going to hurt you. Nobody in that church is going to let you down. Nobody in that church is going to disappoint you. But if I told them that tonight, and if I told you that tonight, I would be telling a lie. I thought about Saul. You know, he let Samuel down. He let Samuel down to the point that Samuel is weeping so hard in 1 Samuel 16 that almost God has to grab my lapels and says, look, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? Go fill your horn with oil and go anoint David to be the next king. You know why Samuel's like that? Saul dropped him. Saul let him down. I thought about Paul and Demas. Paul is getting ready to die in 2 Timothy 4, and he's coming down the end. You know, we like to invert, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. There's a crown of glory. And then he says, by the way, Demas has forsaken me. He let me down. I'm going to tell you, people are going to let you down in this life. People you love, people you admire, people you appreciate, people you have trusted, I'll even let you down. You know why? Because I'm made out of the same flesh that you're made out of. Here's what we forget sometimes. We're not super bionic Baptists. We're not super Christians. Like, we will let others down. You're going to let somebody down and they're going to let you down. I'm thinking about this with Mephibosheth. When that nurse dropped him, it wasn't something she planned on doing. She didn't mean to do it. It just happened because she got tripped up in her flesh. You know, and upon falling, most Bible commentators believe, as I was reading this text this week, that when she dropped him, his legs or his feet broke, and because they are on the run for their lives, they cannot seek the medical attention that would be needed. And so he's left maimed. His life is different now. I mean, he's been let down by somebody and your life's never been the same. His life is defined by this now. What do we know Mephibosheth has? He's that crippled boy that David went and got. But we always talk about him being lame. He's defined by it. His life is damaged because of this. I want to say three things tonight around this thought, somebody dropped me. First of all, I would emphasize the direct cause. What caused this? The direct cause. What caused this woman to drop Mephibosheth? As I've tried to state, and I hope you're catching my heart tonight, she didn't mean to drop him. She didn't mean to do this. This was not her intentions. She let him down. She didn't mean to harm him or hurt him, but it just happened. You ever had those things in your life that it didn't mean to happen? They didn't mean to hurt you. They didn't mean to let you down. It just happened. You know, we're funny sometimes. And I've been in church all my life. I ain't dead yet. So I'm planning to be in church all my life. But I'll be 33 my birthday. I've been pastoring 11 and a half years, preaching for since I was 10 years old. You do the math, 22, 23 years this year. And I'm so grateful for the heritage I have and how God's blessed me and raised. But I'm going to tell you something now. We're funny as Baptists sometimes. We think that every time something happens, it's the devil. I mean, our battery dials on our car and we'll say, I'll tell you, the devil's after me. Or the AC unit will go out the house. I'll tell you, the devil's after me. Now, I want us to think about this. During the dark ages and during that times of early church persecution, you know what the devil did? He was hanging Christians. He was having them burned at the stake. They were being thrown to the lions. But now in 2024, he has resulted to killing car batteries and AC units. I really doubt the Lord of darkness is saying, I know how I'll get them Christians. I'm going to get their AC unit. We blame everything on the devil. Now, I'm not the president of the devil's fan club. Don't get me wrong tonight. But sometimes things just happen because it's life. I thought about this with this woman. What caused her to drop him? And don't worry, I'm a 30-minute preacher, all right? And I got a clock going here. Notice the chaos. He was 5 years old when the tidings came. You know what he heard? They heard that news. Saul and Jonathan are dead. And immediately panic and chaos erupts in the palace. And they're going and grabbing items. They're trying to get things. They're trying to evacuate. And in the middle of all that chaos, she dropped him. And sometimes in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a busy trial, are y'all picking up what I'm laying down? In the middle of tragedy, in the middle of panic and chaos, somebody can get dropped. People you love will let you down when trouble comes. I thought about it's not only the chaos, but the concern. His nerves took him up and fled. Her intentions are pure. They are sincere. She wants to keep young Mephibosheth safe. He could have been a prince. I mean, let's just think about it. I understand God has already rejected Saul. I understand David's going to be the next king. But politically thinking, Saul is the king. Jonathan's next in line. After Jonathan, it would be Mephibosheth. He's in the line. He's got potential. But somebody dropped him. Chaos, concern, the carelessness that he fell. In this panic, she picked him up. She's carrying him. She got careless about who she was carrying. I when I was studying this week, I thought about people in my life that I had confidence in. Not just preachers, but some preachers, some people in the church. I'm thinking about, Pastor, I'm thinking about a man right now that he served on my deacon board, and he stood with me during a difficult time at our church. And 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, out of the blue, he just blew up and left. And yesterday, he had his family at a country music concert, posting all over social media. And I'm standing back saying, What are you doing? You know what he did? He dropped me. He got careless. He got careless about who he was carrying. Now, there's a twofold message this tonight. There are those of us who've been dropped tonight, but there are those of us who are carrying somebody. And we better not get careless tonight. These young people, we always think about the young people. And yes, there are the young people. But I tell you, we're carrying one another. You know what Hebrews 10:25 says? It said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Here's what the Hebrew writer was saying. He said, when you go to church, whether you realize it or not, you're exhorting that brother across the pew from you. You're exhorting that sister across the aisle from you. They come in. And they're weary and they're tired and they're burned from a long week. Oh, but they look over and see you still faithful and still serving God. And what that does for them is keep them pressing on and say, well, thank God they're still in the battle and they're still remaining faithful. You are carrying somebody. The direct cause. Then I would say the damaging consequence. The Bible said in our text that he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. I've already mentioned this, but just for the sake of the outline, this consequence led to no assistance. The word lame means maimed, meaning, as I said, his legs were probably broken and they were not healed properly. There was no good Samaritan that came by like Luke 10 and saw that man wounded and left half dead. No good Samaritan came by and administered grace and administered help to him. Nobody came by and tried to help him. I'm sure they'd done what they could, but there was no assistance given to him. You know, our churches are filled with hurting people tonight. People that are carrying things that we don't know anything about. I thought, I'm doing good on time. I preached that text on the Good Samaritan last year at our church, and I took it from a different angle. I understand the primary interpretation is a picture of Christ and what he done for us. But you know who that Samaritan was? He was a half Jew and a half Gentile. He was on the outside. He was part of the world. And you know who walked by that hurting man? A priest and a Levite. People that knew God. Well, I understand the priest and I understand the Levite. And I understand all the ceremony. I get that, okay? But God didn't fuss at David for eating that bread when he's on the run from Saul either. Here's my point. It's amazing. The church walks by the man in the ditch. And these churches that are half in and half out, they're the ones that gobble up all the people that are hurt. Now, I am not saying preaching compromise. If you know me, you know I am not talking about that tonight. But I'm talking about we walk on by and we don't want to. I'm not saying this church. I'm just talking about Christianity as a whole. Sometimes we are guilty of walking by because we just don't want to get involved. That Samaritan took some involvement getting down there with him. It took some investment. Where do you think he got that oil and wine? I mean, there's not a 7-Eleven selling that stuff out there on the Jericho Road. He had to take oil and wine out of his own possession and try to pour into that man's life. And sometimes helping people is going to cost you something. There was no assistance. There was no advancement for Mephibosheth. This is very elementary, but think about this. for the sake of being repetitive, because of this fall, he is lame. Thus, he cannot walk. Thus, he cannot move on from that episode in his life. Every morning he wakes up, he's still lame. Every morning he wakes up, he has to trust somebody else to get him to the table to eat. He has to rely on somebody else. He's not able to move on. Many people wake up every morning facing the reality of what someone did to them and how they let them down. You know what they have a hard time doing? They just can't move on. Y'all getting this tonight? This has been in my heart heavy for about 3 days now. I'm telling you, that moving on's hard. He can't. He can't. There's no advancement. Then I thought about this, no abundance. You remember the next time we find Mephibosheth in our Bible? He's in 2 Samuel 9. You know where he's at? He's in Lodibar, the house of Maker. You know what that means? It means the place of no pasture and no bread. He's just barely getting by. And there's so many people that's been hurt by somebody in a church, been let down by somebody, and they've got out of church, and maybe they're going to another church somewhere, but it's not as strong as what they used to be in. You know what they're doing now spiritually? They're just barely getting by. Because somebody let them down. Well, preacher, you don't know what happened to me. Have they put you on a cross yet? Have they put nails in your hands and feet and thrust a spear in your side yet? I didn't think so. I'm not trying to minimize anybody's hurt. I'm not trying to minimize anybody's disappointment tonight. We could all sit around tonight and pass around a microphone and we all be tore up from the floor up before it was over tonight. But is you just going to live your life barely getting by? Because somebody dropped you. By the way, in 2 Samuel 9, close as I can read, that's 20 years difference time-wise. 20 years he'd been living like that. But that's not much, because some people's been living, holding on to stuff longer than that. We are in a Baptist church tonight. All I preach in is Baptist church. I don't know anything about the Methodists. I don't know anything about the Presbyterians. I don't know anything about the Catholics, but I know them Baptists. I are one, okay? I are one, all right? I'm with you. I are one. I'm here. Y'all got a Bible college. Y'all may need to sign me up, all right? But yeah, we knew that when you started going. I mean, we knew you needed some education, all right? My point tonight is he can't move on. He's just barely getting by. The direct cause, the damaging consequence. But and this is out of my order. Usually I'm an exposition verse by verse, but if you'll allow me, I usually don't have people turn, but if you're going to preach Mephibosheth's story, you got to get to chapter 9. There is a definite cure if somebody's dropped you. I'm glad. Amen. I preached all night to get to this. This is the best I got. If you don't shout right here, then we're going to the clock, okay? But I'm glad if you've been let down, there is hope. And I'm glad if you've been let down, there is help. And I thought about this. You know what the cure is for someone who's been let down, dropped, or hurt by someone who they loved and trusted? Don't shut out the king. You know what? David, I thought about this outline. He responded to the call, 2 Samuel 9:3. And the king said, "Is there not any yet of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amliel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amliel, from Lodibar. We know David as a son. We know David as a shepherd and as a soldier and a singer and a sovereign. But now David wants to be the supplier and he wants to be the source of help and healing for Mephibosheth. So he sent out an invitation and he sent out a call to a man who had been let down. Now watch what Mephibosheth could have said. "No, I ain't going, because last time I was there, somebody hurt me from that place." He's going back to where he grew up in that palace, where David's at. "I ain't going back there." How many times you been witness to somebody and you invite them to church and say, "No, my mom and daddy got hurt there," or "I got hurt there. I ain't going back over there." But that ain't what Mephibosheth did. He said, The king's calling for me. And I want to say this tonight, child of God. I want to say this evening. If you've been let down, if you've been dropped by somebody whom you loved and appreciated and admired, I'm telling you, the king is calling out tonight. He is calling out. There is an invitation. He don't want you to live just barely getting by. He don't want you to spend your life in Lodi Bar. He don't want you living in the house of no bread and no pasture. Oh, but thank God, with tender cords of mercy and love, he'll draw you back. He wants you back. Can I say it like this? He wants you back in the house. Amen. Did you know you can get out of church and still be in church? Just going through the motions, going through the thing, going through. Don't ask me how I know that. Just going through the motions, singing the songs. We know, and we're good. We know when to say amen. We know when to go to the altar. We know the songs. We go through the routine. But our heart is not as passionate as what it used to be. And it's not stirring in our soul like it once did. Oh, but may God tonight send out Ziba's call. And you know, Ziba's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit will draw on your heart and woo you back with cords of love. Mephibosheth responded to the call. But then I thought about this. He received the compassion. Now, you know what that compassion involved? It involved a passage or transportation. Now, excuse me. If you'll study out Israel, between Lodi Bar and Israel was the Jordan River. And so the men I read behind, and there was possibly a ferry, some kind of a nautical transportation they'd have to get on. So here's Ziba. He's in Mephibosheth's house. It says, Mephibosheth said, well, I'll go. But he's still lame. He can't get in that boat by himself. He can't get in the king's chariot by himself. So you know what he's going to have to do? He's going to have to let somebody else pick him up. Amen. Yeah. He's going to have trust reestablished in his heart again. A lot of people said, no, I ain't going back. They let me down. I ain't doing that again. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there are some bad people in church. There are some bad preachers around. There are some bad deacons around. There's some bad choir members. There's just bad people. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of the best people I know are down at the house of God. And some of the greatest people I know are down at the church. Hey, there might be some bad ones, but I'm glad for the good ones, thank God. And I'm glad I'm not going to let one or two bad ones ruin all the good ones down at the house of God. You know what Mephibosheth did? Okay, I'll trust you to pick me up again. Last time somebody picked me up from there, they dropped me. But I'm going to trust you. That passage. And then I thought about this. Provisions. You know what David told him? Said, I'm on verse 7 through 10. It's all in. You know this. Dr. Seidler preached on it. Every preacher's preached on it. Talking about, he said, you're going to sit at the king's table. And he said, I'm going to have Ziba's sons till the land. And they're going to bring that fruit and put it on like it was yours. Oh, time out. Don't you see that right there? Here's what David told Mephibosheth. He said, I know you can't go out there and do it. So I'm going to send Ziba, picture of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send him out there to plow and plant and bring the increase. And then you're going to get to enjoy all the blessings like you did it all by yourself. Well, ain't that how God does it for us? We can't, he said, without me, you can't do nothing. We can't preach without him. We can't sing without him. We can't testify without him. But I'll tell you what he does. He'll give us a sermon, or he'll give us a song, or he'll give us a talent. And then he'll preach through us. He'll sing through us. He'll work through us. And we know it's not us. We know who we are. But then he blesses us like we've done it all ourselves. Our brother tonight testified about the great work God has done on the mission field. And he'd be the first to tell you, he can't do that. He's not able to do that. You know what God's been doing? God's been working through you, and God's been working around you, and he's blessing you like you've done it all your own. You're enjoying the benefits of fields that you've never sown. What a blessing tonight. Man, I love this. That received compassion involved position. Look at verse 11, 2 Samuel 9:11. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. Now, pause right there. We said this at the beginning. Mephibosheth is a grandson of the king. Saul's his papaw, or pawpaw. Jonathan's his daddy. Jonathan's not the king. He's a grandson of the king. But watch what David said. I'm going to make him. He's going to sit at the table as one of the king's sons. He said, in fact, when he gets back, when you get here, it's going to be better than what it was when you was here the last time. Some of you have been out of church before. Some of you got away from God and God drew you back in. Ain't it better now than what it was before? Because you found out God did not fail you and God did not forget you and God did not forsake you. But as the psalmist said, He restoreth my soul. He said there's one of the king's sons. He's not only a grandson, I love this. He responded to the call. He received the compassion. But you know what else Mephibosheth did? He raised a child. The Bible said Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. Now, there's a lot of arguments. Did he have the son in Lodibar or did he have the son after? Don't know. Bible don't say. But here's what I do know. I know where he raised him. You know where he raised him? He raised him in that place where he got hurt. He raised him in that place where he got dropped. But he wasn't going to let his youngin suffer and be in Lodibar like he was just because somebody dropped him. Hey, mom and dad, just because somebody done you wrong in the church, just because somebody let you down, don't let your baby suffer because of it. How many times you men that's pastored and you men that's been in the ministry, you've seen a mom and dad get crossways with somebody in the church, whether they had a legitimate reason or not, we're leaving. And you know who suffers for it? It ain't mom and daddy. It's them youngins in the back of the car on the way home. It's bigger than you, sir. It's bigger than you, ma'am. I got kids in this thing now. It's bigger than me and my personality and what I think and what I want and what I like. I got three children at home that they need to think that church is the greatest place in the world because church is the greatest place in the world. But if you get your eyes on people and you get focused on what somebody did to you, somebody dropped you, I ain't gonna go back over there. You know what they done to me? You know what they said about me? You know how they treated me? That ain't what Mephibosheth did. Micah got to grow up and have the life that Mephibosheth would have had if somebody hadn't dropped him. His grandson. Boy, Brother Alfred Willis, that's the best point I got right there. Y'all missed it, all right? He got to enjoy the benefits his daddy missed out on. What are your kids going to miss out on because you get crossways with somebody in the church? What is your family going to miss out on because somebody dropped you and you won't respond to the king's call? Now, I'm done. 2 Samuel, later on in that book, you know, Absalom rises up, the rebellion, and I'm not going to preach all the history of all that. You know that. And David has to leave, flee the throne. 2 Samuel 15, he's walking up that hill, his head's covered, his feet, no shoes. And I mean, it's just world's upside down. And he comes back, and there's somebody that meets him. His beard ain't shaved. Ain't no shoes on his feet. In fact, he's been lied on. Remember, was it Joab that lied on Mephibosheth? Not Joab. I can't read the Bible for both of us, okay? This is a new sermon, all right? I might have it down by next Sunday when I preach. You know, they lied on him. They said, They said, Mephibosheth said he's going to take the throne. Mephibosheth, he never said that. Somebody else let him down. In fact, they told him they was going to get him transportation, Brother Rose, and they didn't. And they left Mephibosheth. You read 2 Samuel 21. Mephibosheth don't get mad. In fact, in 2 Samuel 21, chapter number 19, when David comes back, let me just read it to you instead of trying to remember. In 2 Samuel 19 and verse number 24, Mephibosheth, Saul, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he's come to Jerusalem to meet him that the king said to him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant, deceived me, for thy servant said, I will settle me an ass and I will ride thereon and go to the king because thy servant is lame and he has slandered thy servant unto thy lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet is thou thy servant among them and then eat thy own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" Here's what he told Mephibosheth. He said, it was Ziba. He said, the king looked at David and said, well, look, you and Ziba, you just take the land and y'all divide it. Mephibosheth said, Ziba can have it. I ain't worried about the land. I'm just glad you're home, David. I'm just glad you're back, David. Watch this now. It wasn't the last time somebody let him down in that palace. Ziba, the one that come and got him out. Them types fall off. I understand that. That one that come and got him out let him down. But he ain't focused on Ziba. He didn't get in this thing for Ziba. He didn't get in it for somebody else. His eyes is on David. He just wants David. Here's the point. The people that even got you in the church could let you down and lie on you and slander you and turn on God. But you remember, you didn't get in it for them. You got in it for him, amen. And it's not about that crowd tonight. It's about Jesus. And I want to let you know tonight, can I walk down there without if I don't break my foot? Can I let you know tonight? We don't have all this at home. We got two steps. That's safety, better for my safety and my insurance policy. But I'm telling you tonight, there's going to be people in church that's going to let you down. That's going to disappoint you. But I want to let you know something tonight. There is one in this church tonight who will never let you down, who will never fail you, who will never disappoint you. And it's not the pastor, and it's not the deacons, and it's not the staff. I'm telling you who it is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Zephaniah said, he faileth not. And I want to report to you tonight, child of God, you might have been let down, and you might have been dropped before. Somebody might have failed you. Somebody might have disappointed you. But aren't you glad tonight that we know the Savior? We know the God. Anybody listen to me? We know the God and the Lord who's never let us down. He's not failed us now. He's never failed us before, and he ain't gonna fail us tomorrow. Amen. I believe we're nearing the end of this thing. Don't you believe that? I believe any time the trumpet's going to sound and we're leaving out. And I really do not believe that since we're this close to home, that God's going to fail us now. Well, I just requested to hear myself sing. Because you can't sing a song in a Baptist church unless somebody requests it. That's that unwritten rule. Ain't that right, Brother Stevens? Amen. As a little child, I knew that I was born to serve the Lord. And as I grew older, I've trusted in his word. He has stood by me so tenderly as time has come and gone. So I don't believe he'll fail me just a few steps from home. No, I don't believe he'll fail me just a few steps from home. It's been a long, long journey, but I've never been alone. I can see the first dawning of my homecoming morning. So I don't believe he'll fail me just a few steps from home. So here I stand at journey's end. I know it won't be long till we shall view that country that we've been calling home. If he should fail me here when I'm so near, then all would be in vain. I got news for you. He's sweeter and he's closer now than he has ever been. So no, I don't believe he'll fail me. Hey, we ain't far from home, child of God. Others may let you down. Others may disappoint you. But he faileth not. I'm done. All right, so 2 Kings 2. How do you do this, brother? 2 Kings 2. Elijah gets caught up in that chariot of fire. And you got the sons of the prophets. Where's he at? And Elijah said, the Lord took him up in chariot of fire. I'm like, we better go see if the Lord dropped him on some mountain somewhere. Read, that's what they said. Pretty eventually the Lord may have dropped him. Wouldn't that be awful to think about during the rapture? I mean, here we are. We've been waiting to get out of here. Trumpet sounds, ba-ba-da-ba, and then you lose somebody. Oh, come on, we got to go back around and pick them up. I'm sorry. Been in church my whole life. My mind works different. Okay. I'm just glad it works. You know what Elijah said? Yeah, the Lord didn't drop him. You can go look, but the Lord didn't drop him. And I want to let you know, somebody may drop you, but he ain't going to drop you. You young people, thank God for you tonight. You're in the best place you can be. People let you down though here. Good people. God, they don't mean to. It's just going to happen. We're not excusing sin. Please don't misunderstand. We're not excusing sin. We're not excusing falling. Okay, y'all know me that, all right? But it's going to happen. But you remember, for every person that fails you, God has never failed. As we stand tonight, I appreciate your attention. Father, I love you tonight because you first loved me. I thank you for this pastor and this church. Lord, you gave me this message for tonight. Only you know why. I pray you'd help your people. Lord, help them to respond. In Christ's name, heads bowed and eyes closed. Somebody dropped you tonight. We've all probably been dropped at one point in our life by somebody we had confidence. I'm thinking of a preacher tonight, years ago as a teenager. This man's out of the ministry now, not even preaching. Dropped me. I tell you tonight, though, that didn't stop me from loving on other preachers and trying to serve. I tell you tonight, God don't fail. If God's touched your heart tonight, you come. These altars are open.